In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Becoming merciful like the Father. Dear faithful, it's to be transformed by receiving God's mercy that we become merciful like God is merciful. Today's parable is one of the greatest of all of Jesus' illustrations, not only of this calling, but of the means by which we can fulfill this calling. And it's challenging for all of us, because it's about forgiving others in the way God has forgiven us. God's mercy toward us, which is infinite and everlasting, can be forfeited. In the parable, the master who had written off debt revoked it when he saw the one he had forgiven refuse similar mercy to the person who owed him. God makes this point throughout Sacred Scripture. In the book of Sirach, God tells us, "Forgive your neighbor the wrong he has done, and then your sins will be pardoned when you pray." Does anyone harbor anger against another and expect healing from the Lord? If one has no mercy toward other like himself, can he then seek pardon for his own sins? When Jesus taught us to pray the Our Father, he put 7 petitions on our lips. But only one had a condition attached to it. "Forgive us our trespasses," we pray, "as we forgive those who have trespassed against us." We need already to have forgiven, or to have the intention to continue to forgive. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Jesus tells us right after revealing to us the Lord's Prayer. In today's Gospel, Jesus made the same point. "So my Heavenly Father will also do to every one of you." He meant, treat us like the first debtor in the parable, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. And none of us should miss the consequence if God revokes or if we forfeit his forgiveness. If he does so, we will go to hell, in which there will never be enough time to pay our debts. Because unless God forgives us and forgives us our sins will prevent us from getting to heaven. This will happen not because God wishes to punish us, but because unless we have a heart that is merciful toward others, we are incapable of receiving God's mercy. Let's make the point with an example. Let's take a human heart. That heart has its actions, in which blood is pumped in and pumped out of the heart. If the heart has stopped pumping out the Christ-like precious blood of mercy, it is now dead and cannot receive Christ's outpouring. But there is something else we can say if we fail to forgive others. We will not have to wait until we die to go to hell, because we will already be experiencing a type of hell on earth. The past pains due to the other sins against us will always remain in the present, heavy, dragging us down by their weight, making us stuck in life, unable to love around us those who don't deserve to be treated like this, by the way. Jesus gives us the command to forgive others, not just so that we might imitate his merciful love, or not even so that we won't revoke it by our failure to be merciful to others, but so that we might experience the liberation and joy mercy brings the giver. When we forgive others, that doesn't mean that God forgave them. Of course, they might have to repent and to ask for forgiveness. And let's not be wrong, forgiveness does not mean forgetting. It's normal for memories to be triggered in the future. When thoughts of past hurts occur, it's what we do with them that counts. We let them go, or we decide to ruminate them again and again. When we find ourselves focusing on a past offense, we can learn to say, "Thank you, God, for this reminder of how important forgiveness is." When we apologize, we recognize our error and turn around. When we forgive, we return to a state of love. Framed positively, this lesson that Jesus is teaching us in this parable is what we need to pay his mercy forward. We have been made rich in mercy by God's generosity, and we are called to share it. It is like God has made us billionaires, and he wants us liberally to share that gift with those who owe us because of the depths of their sins toward us. In forgiving in this way, Jesus was indicating to us how to fulfill his command to love others as I have loved you. And his love for us is always merciful. Therefore, our love for others must likewise always be clement, benevolent. As he was dying to pay the debt for our sins, after his back had been shedded at the flagellation, after his head had been crowned with thorns and the Roman soldiers were about to hammer his arms to the wood of the cross, Jesus cried out, not in pain but in mercy, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The "them" and the "they" he was referring to were not just the Roman soldiers, who clearly knew how to crucify someone, but to all of us who, when we sin, really do not have a clue about how our sins crucify and kill our Savior. There is a similar consequential ignorance when we sin against others and others sin against us. Today, Jesus is asking us to make his words our own, to make his love our own, to make his mercy our own by receiving it from him in the sacraments of mercy and by our sharing that forgiveness lavishly with others. He who is mercy incarnate has made us rich in mercy like his Father. And the place where we get strengthened to do so is here at Mass. That's why it has been so important for us to make this place a beautiful place of worshiping our God. In today's reading, St. Paul tells us to draw your strength from the Lord and from his mighty power. And this is a place that we come to draw all our spiritual energies from the power of his merciful flowing from his pure side. This is where, at Mass, we are strengthened with the armor of God to stand firm against the traps, the tactics of the devil on the evil day. This is where, at Mass, we put on Christ and his merciful love, where we wrap ourselves with the truth about him, ourselves, and our need for him. At Mass, that we are closed in his holiness around our hearts. At Mass, where we put on the shoes of the gospel of peace through the forgiveness of sins. Where we grow in faith and say, Jesus, I trust in you and his divine mercy. Whether the devil shoots flaming arrows of temptations. This is where at Mass, where we wrap our head with the helmet of salvation so that our minds are thinking about eternity and where we are and where we assimilate the word of God as a weapon to use against the devil, just as Jesus used it in the desert. This is where we begin to by confessing that we are in need of God's help and protection because we are sinners who have lost in battle against the devil by our own grievous fault, but are nevertheless strengthened by God so that we might win the war. This is where we proclaim that we are not worthy to receive him. But we ask him to say the word and forgive our debts so that he may enter under our roof. And with Jesus inside us, with mercy incarnate abiding in us, how can we not forgive others like he forgives us? Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.